Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, September 28th. Bass Pro Shops linked to more retail. Developer says to Midland City Council, "You're on the precipice of making this a regional intersection." The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Bass Pro Shops will lead to more development in West Midland, especially around northwest of the intersection of State Highways 191 and 158, officials said Tuesday. Coy Haynes, a principal with Laramie Investments in Dallas, told the Midland City Council that his investment group has 10 businesses ready to surround the Bass Pro Shops property with no tax incentives. Laramie Investments, according to Haynes, sold Bass Pro Shops the land in West Midland. Haynes also said, had the Midland City Council turned down improving the offer and therefore improving the odds of losing Bass Pro Shops, it would prevent future deals with businesses like Great Wolf Lodge and Top Golf. Haynes said Top Golf officials had been, quote, on a plane 3 months ago looking at this intersection. "You're on the precipice of making this a regional intersection," Haynes said, "and right now it is not," end quote. One of the selling points made Tuesday was the "if you build it, they will come" argument. Haynes said retailers follow retailers. Quote, "There's a herd mentality," he said. Haynes also said Midland and Odessa are one-store markets for those sit-down restaurants that everyone's looking for. Quote, "They're only going to do one," Haynes said. "They're going to go in the middle of Midland Odessa. They're going to go wherever the synergy is," end quote. City of Midland officials pointed to location as being a reason for an increase in incentives to bring Bass Pro Shops to Midland. The site is more centralized between Midland Odessa, adjacent to the future Nueva Vista development, 1 mile from the Scarborough Sports Complex, adjacent to office buildings, close to Loop 250, which connects with Interstate 20 and State Highway 349, and potentially influences other major tax-generating developments. City officials used an Imagine This presentation, which showed a major retail center that includes Main Event, Alamo Draft House, Cheesecake Factory, Papadou Seafood Kitchen, Dave & Buster's, Trader Joe's, and Outlet Shopping. Once you get a Bass Pro Shops, who's to say you don't get a Costco? Who's to say you don't get a Top Golf or Great Wolf Lodge? District 2 Councilman Jack Ladd Jr. said. And all of these companies that I've just mentioned, we have been in negotiations with either currently or in the past. End quote. City of Midland officials pointed to the $6 million that claimed were made in off-site utilities, roads, and drainage around 2002 that helped lead to the development boom in West Midland, where the Scarborough Sports Complex resides. The City of Midland reported assessed values went from $10.1 million in 1995 to $643 million in 2022, and property taxes went from $67,000 to $2.3 million inside the area around the sports complex. The City of Midland also reported total incentives, the $5.5 million from the Midland Development Corporation for infrastructure, the property tax abatements and sales tax rebates, etc., will be $10 million over 10 years. The cumulative net benefit during the same time will be $12 million, according to the City of Midland. Lastly, total revenue from Bass Pro Shops, all other sales and property revenue from that area after year 10, when the tax abatements and sales tax rebates end, will be $2.9 million. MRT plans Midland ISD Bond Forum on October 18th. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The Midland Reporter-Telegram has scheduled a Midland ISD School Bond Forum for October 18th. The event will take place at 7:30 p.m. inside the Carrasco Room at Midland College. It is open to the public and will air live on the Reporter-Telegram's Facebook page. Representatives from both political action committees related to the $1.4 billion Midland ISD school bond have been invited to attend. The event is the only announced forum and debate between the two political action committees. Reporter-Telegram editor Stuart Doreen will moderate. The event is another in the line of Reporter-Telegram forums prior to local elections and will be the second Midland ISD forum that evening. District 7 Special Election Forum. Candidates for the Midland ISD District 7 seat, Josh Gwynn and Brian Murray, are scheduled to participate in the only forum for school board candidates. The forum is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. It is also open to the public and will air live on the Reporter-Telegram's Facebook page. District 7 includes the following areas: Greentree, Briarwood, Saddle Club Ranch Estates, Great House, a section bordered by Garfield Street on the east, Midland Drive on the west, Bluebird Avenue on the north, and Loop 250 on the south, and another section bordered by Loop 250 and Briarwood to the north, Wadley Avenue to the south, Holiday Hill and Loop 250 to the west, and Midkiff Road to the east. The winner of the election will replace Stephanie Mead, who was appointed to replace Murray in June. Murray resigned his position as his two sons had accepted positions to teach and coach football at Legacy High School, their alma mater. The winner of the District 7 special election will fill out the remaining term for the District 7 representative. The term ends in 2024. Business buzz. Ink runs deep. Midlander turns a childhood passion for drawing into private tattoo studio. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. Born and raised Midlander Luis Guerrero turned his childhood passion for drawing into high society private tattoo studio in the Colonnade at Polo Park. Growing up, Guerrero drew artistic inspiration from covers of R.L. Stine's Goosebumps books that donned cartoonishly creepy monsters, skulls, and ghouls. He also recalls drawing homies figures, 2-inch figurines that were loosely based on Mexican-American people and the life of their creator, David Gonzalez. Quote, "I started tattooing back in 06, and it started from drawing. I started drawing at a really young age and started hanging out at shops whenever I was old enough, when I was like 14, 15 years old," Guerrero recalled. When his senior year at Lee, now Legacy High School, came around, Guerrero was in a work program that allowed him to attend school for half of a school day and spend the afternoon tattooing at Dave's Tattoo in Odessa, which was open for 25 years until its closing in 2008. Luis said his current brick-and-mortar location was already an existing tattoo shop. The owner of Guerrero's former employer, the Body Gallery, passed it down to him. Quote, "This place was already a tattoo shop, and Ed Alvarado from the body gallery passed it down to me because he wanted to expand and he knew I was trying to open up a small private spot just for me and maybe one other artist, he recalled. The designation of a private tattoo studio comes from the single artist who works there and the single chair it owns. From Burning Incense to Sublime and the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing at just the right volume level, High Society provides a relaxed and singular experience for all who walk in. Quote, I kind of feel like I'm a counselor or something because I hear all kinds of stories, Guerrero said, about the intimate experience of tattooing. Quote, some stories are good. Some stories are sad. You'll have some tattoos where people get emotional because the tattoo meant so much to them that when they see it done, you know, they break down. End quote. It's the allure of the tattoo game for Guerrero, knowing he created a special piece of lifelong art for his customers. Guerrero's lifetime of drawing has molded him into an all-styles type of guy. While he has worked in all kinds of tattoo styles, Guerrero loves American traditional, Japanese, and Polynesian styles. Quote, it's so intricate, Guerrero said about Japanese and Polynesian styles. It's hard to do, and it's hard to make look great. You really have to know everything about it, from the placement of it, how it's going to look on the body, the story behind it, and all that. End quote. Guerrero advised young prospective artists to get a foot in the door at local tattoo shops and begin to learn the basics. Quote, go around, see what shop you feel comfortable at, pretty much hang out there as much as you can, and show them you want to be a part of it. That will kind of get you familiar with all the stuff you have to do to get a shop going on, he said. The following is an opinion article. MRCCAC marks a decade of wine, women, and shoes. The story was written by Lauren Blackheader, MRCCAC Advisory Board. 10 years. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years since we held our first Wine, Women, and Shoes benefiting the Midland Rape Crisis and Children's Advocacy Center, or the MRCCAC. What started out as 325 guests at the Midland Center, held in April 2014, has grown to 600 guests expected at the Horseshoe Pavilion on Thursday. Our world is different. We have weathered multiple downturns in the oil patch, COVID, and supply chain issues. We are different. The MRCCAC now provides more than 600 forensic interviews each year to children alleging abuse or believed to be at risk for abuse. We've opened a second satellite office and now operate the CAC in Midland, Andrews, and Howard counties. And we've established the Sexual Assault Response Team, the SART, to coordinate the investigation of sexual assault cases in Midland, to name only a few of the many ways we've grown and changed. What is not different is the unwavering support of the local community for our event and our center. Our sponsors, volunteers, community partners, and friends enable us to hold this fun and unique event to raise essential funds to operate the MRCCAC and support its continued growth. These funds enable us to hire more therapists to ensure all our clients receive the free therapy they need to heal. They allow us to provide age-appropriate body safety education to elementary school students to help prevent abuse from happening. They allow us to operate a 24/7 365 crisis hotline available at 432-682-2000. 7273 to provide assistance to people going through some of the hardest times of their lives. They allow us to live up to the ideal of every client, every service, every time, to provide hope and healing for all survivors of sexual assault and child abuse. The MRCCAC was established in 1979 by a group of concerned citizens who saw a need to provide hope and healing for survivors of sexual assault and child abuse. In 1996, the CAC was added to the Midland Rape Crisis Center, bringing child abuse and sexual assault under one umbrella to care for all survivors. Last year alone, the MRCCAC provided 651 forensic interviews, 5,525 hours of free trauma-focused therapy, and presented on education and prevention to more than 22,000 community members, 14,521 of which were students. It is only through our incredible community, through foundations, corporate sponsors, and generous individuals that we are able to continue to provide these services free of charge for our clients. As we approach our celebration of a decade of changing our shoes to change lives, we want to say thank you to our community who has not only embraced wine, women, and shoes as a fun way to spend a Thursday evening, but has also asked, how can we do more? Thank you for standing up for survivors of sexual assault and child abuse, and for believing that one person at a time, we can create a better, safer world. Lauren Blackheader is the Wine, Women, and Shoes event chair and MRCCAC advisory board member.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, September 28th, 2023. Happenings. Three things to do in Midland this weekend, September 29th through October 1st, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Jam to a piano duel. Head over to the tailgate for a night of sing-along tunes, good fun, and dueling pianos. Packed with comedy and audience interaction, Dueling Pianos guarantees a non-stop mixtape of crowd requests and fan favorites. Patrons must be 21 and up. The battle takes place whether rain or shine, and guests cannot bring lawn chairs. According to the tailgate website, no ticket or entry fee required. Friday, doors open at 6 p.m., show at 8 p.m., 4401 North Big Spring. Laugh your socks off. The cast of Rumors at the Midland Community Theater present the last weekend for the show. One of the best performances I've seen at the local hub in the last year, Rumors keeps audience members guessing, cackling, and entertained. Tickets for the Maybe Theater 2 performance run from $15 to $25 and can be bought at mctmidland.org. Saturday, 7:30 p.m., 2000 West Wadley. Shop the Trade Days. Looking to spice up your regular weekend shopping routine? The Briar Patch Trade Days celebrates 15 years this weekend at the Ector County Coliseum. More than 200 booths offering clothing, jewelry, home decor, baked goods, candles, soap, self-care items, plants, accessories, and more will fill up buildings D and E. Admission into the vending area is free. Look for updates at www.facebook.com/Briar Patch Trade Days. Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. 4201 Andrews Highway, Odessa. What's Up with Midland? By Morgan Taylor Thomas. At Centennial Park, Basin PBS Heritage Festival, Saturday. Colorado Street, Downtown Farmers Market, new location, every Saturday. At the Destination, Bring Your Own Blues Open Jam, Thursday. Friday Night Live, Last Child, Friday. At Earth, Body, and Soul, Walk-In Tarot Reading every Tuesday, Walk-In Reiki Energy Clearing every Wednesday, Kitchen Witchery, Friday. At the Horseshoe, Texas Battle Bowl Esports and Gaming Expo, Friday through Sunday. At Midland Community Theater, Rumors, Friday and Saturday. At Museum of the Southwest, September Fest, Friday through Sunday. At the Tailgate, Party in the Permian every Thursday. Family Fun Day every Sunday. Dueling Pianos, Friday. Modern Pop-Up Market, Saturday. At Tall City Brewing Company, Geeks Who Drink Trivia, every Tuesday. Tall City Beer Run, every Thursday. At the Venue at Live Oak, Sarah Hobbs, Thursday. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, The Book of Mormon, Thursday. Odessa Gun Show at the Ector County Coliseum Building G, September 30th and October 1st, Saturday 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Admission, $8 for adults, ages 5 through 12, $1. Two-day passes, $14. Cash only. Law enforcement free with proper ID. $1 off military or NRA with ID. Info at silverspurtradeshows.com.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, September 28th. Susan Sue Hanneman, age 59, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, September 24th. Sue was born in West Virginia. She was preceded in death by her parents, James and Kitty Hanneman. She is survived by her brother, Steve Hanneman, and sister, Sherry Rhodes, as well as several nephews. Sue was retired as an assistant director at the Railroad Commission of Texas. Currently, Sue was working as a petroleum engineer in the regulatory department with ConocoPhillips. She had a passion for prison ministries and helping those in need. In lieu of flowers, the family asks you to donate to Carol's Outside or the organization of your choice. The family will receive guests on Friday, September 29th from 6 p.m. through 8 p.m., at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home in Midland. Memorial service will be held on October 21st at 2 p.m. at Stepping Stone Church, 2410 Elkins Road in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Reginald Ronald Rainey, age 73, of Midland, passed away on Thursday, September 21st. Memorial services will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, October 2nd, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Reginald Ronald Rainey was born on April 14, 1950, in St. Louis, Missouri, to Donald and Margaret Rainey. He was married to the love of his life, Cindy, for 46 years. He served in the United States Army and was an avid mechanic. Reggie is survived by son Reginald Rainey II, son Shannon Rainey, and daughter Angela Matzler, as well as several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Reggie is preceded in death by his parents, Donald and Margaret Rainey, wife Diana Cindy Rainey, brothers Donald and George Rainey, and sister Peggy Harden. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. John Max Edgar, age 91, of Fort Worth, passed away on Sunday, September 24th. A graveside service for John will be held on Saturday, September 30th at 11 a.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.ellisfunerals.com for the Edgar family. Angelica Chavez Garcia, age 84, of Midland, passed away September 26th. Viewing will be from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday, September 28th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, September 29th, at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
This is Kim, and I am reading The Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, September 28th. Council holds final vote on sewer, water rate increases. Odessa City Council members heard about the drug epidemic in Odessa from Dr. Alejandra Garcia at Medical Center Hospital, who said they are seeing people in their 20s and 30s with heart issues due to drug use and tragic car accidents, also due to the rise in drug use. She spoke passionately about the crisis and how to help drug abusers both with rehab and counseling. She said the rise in the abuse of drugs both nationally and locally is concerning. She said many in Odessa are very proud of the work they do as the world's energy epicenter, but added that some turn to drugs to stay awake longer or to earn more money. She spoke as someone who has trained in Odessa for several years, and council members seemed receptive during Tuesday's council meeting. In other business, Odessa City Council on Tuesday made the final approval on changes in the water, sewer, and solid waste rates. Water and sewer will go up 6%, and solid waste will increase 3.5%. Those higher charges will be reflected on November bills. Council also accepted a donation from Texas J Regional Advisory Council and appropriated the funds to Odessa Fire Rescue. The $19,157 donation will be used to replace to purchase EMS supplies. The city's water agreement with the Ector County Utility District and the Amy Bell Sports Complex were also on the agenda. According to materials provided to council members, City Attorney Dan Jones proposed the city fund the pre-development agreement for the Amy Bell Sports Complex up to $1 million. He'd also like the city to be named the sole beneficiary of the Amy Bell Sports Foundation. Jones, however, asked the council to table the item so he would have more time to work on the 5013C. He said it should be back on the agenda in 2 weeks. The Bell family, which has been in Odessa for five generations, donated 100 acres of land for the City of Odessa's future sports complex in May. The donated land, which is worth an estimated $5 million, is located at the future intersection of Amyville Road and Fodre Road. The only thing the Bell family asked in return was for a 5-acre park to be included in the project that will be dedicated to Bell, who died at the age of 33 in May 2014. At the time of the donation, city officials estimated the new sports complex would cost $50 million, but said there would be room to expand in the future. They said it would boast a 75,000 to 100,000 square foot indoor facility with 20 volleyball courts, 10 basketball courts, and a 200 meter banked competition track. Outside, they intend to build 8 to 10 multi-purpose fields for soccer, football, and lacrosse, and up to 8 baseball, softball fields. However, the Texas Tribune reported in September the complex is now anticipated to be $70 million and 140,000 square feet with a 30 pickleball courts, 20 volleyball courts, 10 hardwood courts, a portable 200-meter banked competition track, fitness centers, conference rooms, offices, a concession area, a cafe, and a retailer. In addition, outside there will be 12 fields for soccer, football, and lacrosse, and up to 8 softball and baseball fields. There are also plans for athletic training and physical therapy. The agreement executed with Rad Sports on September 19th to design, develop, construct, equip, manage, and maintain the city, and the development shall develop a budget for the center estimated by the developer to be $70 million. Last month, the city announced Occidental and 1.5 had donated $1 million to the project, with a photo on Facebook showing council members Stephen Thompson, Denise Swanner, and Mark Mata holding an oversized $1 million check. The Odessa American filed a Texas Public Information Act request asking for a list of all businesses, organizations, and individuals who have invested or donated to the complex, along with any contracts or documents that have been signed. This is currently in discussion only. Oxy and 1.5 have verbally committed to investing, donating, per the city attorney, was the response. Council member Steve Thompson previously said the city sports complex committee decided to increase the size of the project after Mata and Swanner went to Jacksonville, Florida, to look at another Rad Sports complex. But all we've done so far is accept the land. We haven't accepted the final draft or anything like that for the complex. They're still working on that, Thompson said. On the West Odessa water issue, the city council voted unanimously with no discussion to go month to month on the city's wholesale water contract with ECUD. According to materials provided to the council, the city council agreed in November 2020 to supply ECUD water so it could sell it to its customers. The contract contained a rate model that both agreed to. However, during a recent review of the ECUD contract by the city attorney, the current ECUD contract may be invalid, Utilities Director Kevin Niles wrote. Based on this information, the staff's recommendation is to renew the ECUD on a month-to-month basis at the current rate of 3.82 over 1,000 until further notice. In other matters, the council awarded 5-year economic development agreements between the Odessa Development Corporation and GCC Permian Standard Industrial Manufacturing Partners. The council tabled an agreement with Liberty Oilfield Services. Council also voted to remove supervision of the city's animal control services from the Odessa Police Department. Luis the Singer and Paul Wall, Dos Amigos, 4700 North Golder Avenue, will present Luis the Singer and Paul Wall from 8 p.m. to midnight November 18th. Tickets start at $48.19, including fees. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/4p2cwd99. Afro Midland Music Festival. Sleek Entertainment will present an Afro Midland Music Festival from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. September 30th at 3402 Thomason Drive, Midland. Tickets are $19.32 per person, including fees. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/f398yxsn. Powerball jackpot up to $850 million after months without a big winner. An estimated $850 million Powerball jackpot will be up for grabs Wednesday night for players willing to risk a couple dollars and brave incredibly long odds. The jackpot is the world's ninth largest lottery prize of all time, behind earlier prizes in the Powerball and Mega Millions games that all topped $1 billion. The jackpot has grown so large because there have been 29 consecutive drawings without a big winner, dating back to July 19th. Powerball's terrible odds of 1 in 292.2 million are designed to generate big jackpots, with prizes becoming even larger as they repeatedly roll over when no one wins. The largest jackpot was a $2.4 billion Powerball prize hit by a player in California, November 2022. In most states, a Powerball ticket costs $2, and players can select their own numbers to leave that task or leave that task to the computer. The $850 million jackpot is a sole winner who opts for payments through an annuity doled out over 30 years. Winners almost always take the cash option, which for Wednesday night's drawing would be an estimated $397.4 million. Those winnings would be subject to federal taxes, and many states also tax lottery winnings. Powerball is played in 45 states as well as Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. CAD certification opens doors to many career fields. Perhaps one of the best-kept secrets among Midland ISD's dual credit offerings involves a combination of creativity and technical know-how that students can use to launch a career after high school or give them a big head start in college. Computer-aided drafting and design, CAD, is far more than sketching stodgy blueprints, and long gone are the days when work was done exclusively by board on drafting tables. Our students learn using the most up-to-date technical design software, the same they will use whether they go to college or straight into industry, said instructor Vanessa Hyatt. AutoCAD, Inventor, Revit, and Fusion 360 are all part of the two-year curriculum, and the careers in which these tools are necessary abound. Fields such as engineering, architecture, and surveying all use CAD. Machinists use CAD, as do pattern drawers and pipe designers, Hyatt said in a news release. Having CAD certification really opens a wide world of opportunities. If it's technical, chances are good that a technical designer is required. Being able to create designs to exacting specifications in both two and three dimensions is only part of what students learn in the dual credit CAD pathway. Project management, critical thinking, interpersonal communication, and writing skills are crucial. You're always working in a team, and the accuracy of information is vital. So being a strong, succinct communicator and being organized are a must, Hyatt said. Adding that being a self-starter is also beneficial because a lot of firms outsource designs, so many technical drawers are self-employed or work in small teams dedicated to serving companies that don't have the capacity to do CAD in-house. MISD students have the opportunity to receive CAD certification, which can qualify them for entry-level drafting jobs right out of high school. The certification also gives them a head start in college. Majors such as architecture require CAD before they fully let you into the program, said Hyatt, who learned the craft at Texas A&M and spent decades in the industry before becoming an instructor. Being certified even before starting college saves a lot of time and money. Certification is the first step in a greater career where people can grow into other roles. Many start as a drafter or technical drawer and advance to other positions such as project manager, Hyatt said. However, whether you want to be an architect, engineer, or surveyor, having technical design knowledge is critical, and we instill that in our program. TxDOT issues Stanton traffic alert. The Texas Department of Transportation issued a traffic alert Wednesday for Stanton. Crews will be working in Stanton at the intersection of State Highway 137 and State Highway 176. Traffic in this area will be down to one lane. Expect delays, watch for flaggers, and slow-moving traffic. Yucca Learning Parent Social. Yucca Learning has scheduled a parent social event from 7 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. September 30th at 904 Story Avenue, Midland. Admission is free, but registration is required. For more information or to register, visit tinyurl.com/2W6MWM9C. 2024 Texas Fish Art Contest now accepting entries. The Texas Freshwater Fisheries Center, TFFC, is excited to announce the 2024 Texas Division of Wildlife Forever's Fish Art Contest is open for submissions. The Fish Art Contest, which is accepting entries until February 28th, is part of an international conservation education program designed to foster youth interest in fisheries and fishing. The Fish Art Contest does a tremendous job of exposing students across Texas to the wonders of fish and fisheries resources through the Nexus of Art, TFFC Director Tom Lang said in a news release. We always look forward to this time of year when we once again are amazed by the outstanding work and artistic interpretations of these young Texans. Participants must submit a completed entry form and an original illustration of a wild fish found in Texas. Participants in grades 4 through 12 are required to submit a one-page creative writing piece. Once the entrance form is submitted, applicants must mail their artwork to the Texas Freshwater Fisheries Center, 5550 FM 2495, Athens, Texas, 75752. Dimensions for the physical artwork must be between 8 by 10 inches and 9 by 12 inches, be landscape orientation, and postmarked by February 28, 2024. This program is part of Wildlife Forever's National Contest, and Texas winners will be automatically entered into the National Contest. Texas students must choose to enter national specialty awards with fish not found in Texas. However, they will not be eligible for Texas State Awards due to the one entry per student limit. We have a unique opportunity to celebrate the talents of our Texas students and the beauty of our diverse fish found in Texas, said Kate Barkalow, Education and Interpretation Coordinator at TFFC. In doing so, we also recognize the amazing efforts of our teachers and biologists who support them. To complete their piece of art, students research their fish, its habitat, and conservation efforts being made to protect the species, forging a connection between the student and fish. Educators who wish to have their students enter the 2024 contest can find entry forms, rules, guidelines, and more online A lesson plan offers interdisciplinary curriculum, including lessons and activities, a species identification section profiling each state fish, a glossary and student worksheets. Learn more at wildlifeforever.org. The Fish Art Contest is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year and is sponsored by Wildlife Forever, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, Rapala, U.S. Forest Service, Bass Pro Shops, Wonders of Wildlife, Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation, National Fish Habitat Partnership, and Western Native Trout Initiative. Located in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, Wildlife Forever is a nonprofit multi-species conservation organization dedicated to conserving America's wildlife heritage. Working at the grassroots level, Wildlife Forever has funded conservation projects in all 50 states, committed millions of dollars to on-the-ground efforts. Wildlife Forever supports habitat restoration and enhancement, land acquisition, research and management of fish and wildlife populations. For more information, visit the TFFC Texas Fish Art Contest website. Bands of America Tour stops in West Texas. 22 bands will compete for the title in Midland. High school marching band students from across the region will perform at the first Bands of America Regional Championship this year in Midland on Saturday, September 30th. Bands will represent areas of Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma at the 2023 Bands of America West Texas Regional Championship presented by Yamaha in the Astound Broadband Stadium. There is a full schedule online. Doors will open to the public at 8 a.m. and bands will take the field beginning at 8:30 a.m. 22 bands will compete in the premier marching band event that will feature live music, choreography, and competition. They will be evaluated by a panel of nationally recognized music educators and marching band experts. The top 12 scoring bands will advance to the evening finals, where one band will be crowned champion at the end of the night. The Bands of America Championships season will conclude with the Bands of America Grand National Championship, November 9th through 11th, at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. Tickets will now be cashless for 2023. You can skip the line and buy tickets online at a reduced price. Check out the website for full ticket options, including full day passes, just tickets for finals, and a group ticket option. Children 10 or under are admitted for free for general admission seating. Celebrates NBPT interest, reminds of voter registration. More than 100 teachers interested in getting certified by the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards attended a dinner Tuesday night to gain information and insight. Superintendent Scott Murray said the teachers were invited, along with people from central office and the human capital team, to encourage them to go through the National Board process. National Board of Professional Teaching Standards certification is considered the gold standard for teacher certification. Murray said they also invited a group of people from around the state of Texas and the nation. The National Board for Professional Teaching Standards had staff members on site. "We've been working on this for several years. We have many teachers that are currently pursuing their certification, but we are ready for the next cohort, and so last night was a great opportunity to encourage teachers to move from being a good teacher in the classroom to being a great or accomplished teacher in the classroom," Murray said in his media call Wednesday. He added that teachers who attended were excited about the chance to improve their craft, hone their skills, and become the best teachers they can possibly be. In Texas, teachers who become board certified earn extra compensation through the teacher incentive allotment. ECISD is one of the districts in Texas that is a part of the teacher incentive allotment program So a teacher that earns their board certification automatically qualifies for that money, and that is between $3,000 and $9,000 in additional compensation on top of their regular salary. So there is a financial benefit to a teacher earning their certification, Mary said. However, the primary reason is that educators are lifelong learners and they are constantly striving to be better, he said. This process is by far the most effective form of professional development in the country, Mary added. Mary congratulated the Bookworms program that was one of the award winners at the Beacon Awards from the Nonprofit Management Center Tuesday. The center every year has an annual Beacon Award ceremony where they highlight various programs throughout the Permian Basin, Mary said. This year, the Bookworms program was highlighted for the collaboration that ECISD has with the Education Foundation. We do this work together in ECISD. The foundation provides books for students at the elementary level. Then our curriculum and instruction team provides lesson plans. So teachers teach a lesson that is aligned to the book, and then the foundation provides that very book free of charge to every single student that is a part of that lesson. It is a win-win opportunity, a win for the foundation, for that partnership and us, a win for us because of the collaboration we have with the foundation, but ultimately the big winners are the students. They get to take these books home and they become a part of their home library, Murray added. He also reminded everyone of the $436,109,000 bond election coming up on November 7th. The bond will not require a tax increase. The district website said since 2020, ECISD has made early payments of about $37.3 million on existing bonds and by prepayments and refinancing, saving taxpayers $26.9 million in future interest payments. Based upon the district's existing tax base, the district will not need to increase the total tax rate of $1.014 to pay the $436,109,000 of bond projects. We have worked diligently, a group of community residents, educators, as well as citizens throughout the community, in developing a bond proposal, Murray said. This summer, the Board of Trustees adopted that bond proposal and called an election. On November 7th, voters will see three different propositions. Proposition A is the largest of the three propositions. It focuses upon capital maintenance items on every campus throughout ECISD, the construction of a middle school in the western portion of Ector County, construction of a new career and technical education facility, which will meet the needs of all our CTE students throughout the high school programming in Ector County, investments in our JROTC programming, investing in fine and performing arts, investments in athletics, a lot of other opportunities that can be found in Proposition A. Proposition B is the Ratliff Stadium investment, Murray said. We'll be providing a concrete overlay. The stadium is approximately 40 years of age and the concrete is beginning to crack. So we'll be placing an overlay over the concrete to make sure it can withstand another 40 years of us enjoying the Friday Night Lights experience in that stadium, Murray said. We'll also be adding some lights to the parking area. Sometimes Friday night lights turn into Friday night darkness once we enter the parking lot, so we'll be adding some lights to the stadium area, he added. Proposition C focuses on Odessa and Permian High Schools. At OHS, it will fund an indoor practice facility. At Permian, it will replace the turf currently in their existing indoor practice facility. To participate in the election, you must be a registered voter. The deadline to register to vote is October 10th. Early voting for this year's bond runs from October 23rd through 27th, and Election Day is Tuesday, November 7th. Meetings are being scheduled at each of the 45 schools in ECISD, as well as every department and division within the organization, to make sure that all 4,200 members of the team know and understand the bond. Externally, Murray said they are scheduling a variety of different meetings. I've already been to Rotary clubs throughout Ector County. Next Tuesday, I have a meeting coming up with the Information and Discussion Group. There is another meeting on Monday night, so there are a variety of different community events that are taking place to make sure that our community is well informed of what's happening in the bond, Murray said. If there are community groups interested in hosting a meeting, he encourages them to reach out to the district and let them know. We'd be happy to arrange an individual or someone from the team to come out and provide information, Murray said. In addition, bond information can be found on the ECISD website at ectorcountyisd.org. Click on the Bond 2023 button, and it will take you to all the information. ECISD's social media campaign is starting, so anyone connected with the district on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, or whatever social media you choose, the district will be posting information about the bond. That started this week. You will also be receiving mailers. We'll use telephone, print media, as well as television, Murray said. Murray also reminded the community that the biggest game of the year is coming up October 6th with OHS and PHS facing off at Ratliff Stadium. Tickets went on sale Wednesday, and they are expected to go fast. If you haven't purchased tickets, information is available at ectorcountyisd.org. Once there, visit the athletics area and find out more about purchasing tickets. Ector College Prep Food Pantry Making a Difference. Ector College Prep Middle School offers a dyad in home economics that's not your parents' version of the course. A dyad is like an elective, and this one incorporates traditional home ec, but with an infusion of community service like a food pantry. The dyad is taught by Chevay Glover and Dominique Thompson, dyad coordinator. The next food bank is from 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Friday, but if parents call in, Glover said she will stay. On Facebook, we have a link that parents can fill out for a form, and we contact these parents. Students can come to us as well, and we can get in contact with their families. We have them drive up behind the bus area, and we have them come out into the art room to see the items we have. We give them a box. They can just fill it up with whatever they want. Something different this Friday is we'll have our clothing and hygiene pantry open as well, Thomason said. The Facebook link helps them plan ahead so they can have boxes set aside specifically for those families. Thompson said, families request that they want what they want on the form, whether it's hygiene items, food, or clothing. They can be as specific as they want. Thomason said, Ector has been conducting the food drives and pantries over the last couple of years. They plan to hold the food banks once a month, around the middle of the month, and it will always be on a Friday. Plans are also to have the hygiene items available at the same time as the food pantry. And students' needs have just increased, so we've been thinking of creating different ways to help the students. The students can't really learn if they're stressing about things at home and their parents can't help them. They are stressing as well, so anything that we can do to help alleviate the stress, we want to try and do, Thomason added. They ask students if they can to bring food, and they also get items from the West Texas Food Bank. We get them wherever they have an elective or dyad and teach them how to do inventory on the items. They earn community service for helping their fellow students as well, and we partner up with the West Texas Food Bank. They deliver items to us. We get the bulk of it from them, Thomason said. During the last food bank, they served about 75 families, with about 2 to 3 people in each family. The first year it was 25 families, and last year it was 50. It's just steadily growing by the 25s. However, we did have more people outreach after we had our drive. So we're planning for 150 families this Friday, September 29th, Thomason said. Glover said he saw the need for the pantries for both parents and children at Ector. There are well over 100 students involved in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Students also volunteer during the after-school program. Glover said the pantries have made a difference on campus, especially this last one, which brought to the light so many more needs. People were able to find out about it from the Facebook page on the prep school, and it's brought, I'd say, about 80% more engagement, Glover added. Helping families at the campus humbles her a lot. It makes me very thankful that I'm able to do it, Glover said. She added that it opens the students' eyes. I tell them all the time, you could be up today and down tomorrow, so don't be embarrassed to tell me that you need food. Don't be embarrassed to tell a family member that we offer it. They used to be scared at first, but now they'll come in and they'll be like, Miss, I forgot to call my mom. Can I call her? And they're not afraid of people seeing them get food. I tell them, like, be thankful that you're able to help your parents because, in a sense, it's helping their parents, Glover said. Thomason, the way the economy is right now, they need to be there for each other and help where they can. Glover said it takes about 2 weeks to plan a pantry, including setting a date, getting with the food bank, having people sign up so they know how many to order. The trucks normally get here about 9 a.m., and she has 2 hours to set up and break down. To be able to be there and see the smiles that it brings and the appreciation, it makes it worth it. It's a lot of hard work, Glover said.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.